heads bowed, our eyes closed, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to love you and to care for you. Thank you for loving us, keeping us up. Lord, thank you for this offering. And they bless everyone that was able to give and those that was not able to give. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh!
How many of you know that God is real?
Hallelujah.
There is no fake in him. He is truly real. That's why we can say how great thou art. How great thou art because of the realness of Christ. The realness of God. He's real to me. There are some things that are fake, but he's real to me. A songwriter writes, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. He concludes his song by saying, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Lord, we thank you this day for your greatness. We thank you for sharing your greatness with us, that we may see the greatness of your love demonstrated by Jesus Christ giving his life a ransom for our sins. Thank you for sharing your greatness with us by preparing for each one who believe in you an eternal resting place. We bless your name through song and through prayer and through the reading of your word. We pray that you make clear to us your word through the preaching of the gospel. Thank you for this privilege to stand behind this sacred desk, knowing that I am not worthy to declare your word, but if you speak the word, if you say so, then nevertheless, I shall stand and proclaim like never before. Forgive me for my sins and use me as an instrument of your salvation, of your preaching, and of your power. We bless you, we praise you, we worship and we honor you this day. In the name of Christ our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, somebody. Come on, walk with me now. Somebody or something will praise him. And when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, make thou disciples. Make them rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I don't want any rock crying out for me. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. When you look at this text that comes to us from the gospel according to Luke, the 19th chapter. When you look at Luke chapter 19, we discover the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. When you look at that text, if you began with that 19th verse, the 19th chapter, and the first verse, it shares with us that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And that fourth verse says, and he ran before and climbed up unto a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass that way. I like that fifth verse. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. When you read and continue to read the text, it helps us to understand really why Jesus Christ came. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. When I look at this text helps me to understand that we are to praise God. He rides into Jerusalem. He rides as a king. He is fulfilling the words of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which says, daughters, behold your king who comes riding upon a donkey or beast of burden. Jesus Christ could have chosen any mode of transportation to take him into Jerusalem. If the king of Saudi was to come to these United States, he would fly in on his private plane, and on his private plane, he would have with him this mode of transportation to get him from an airport to his destination. I don't know what he would ride in, but since he's the king with all of the wealth of that land, probably he would come in on a Bentley or Rolls Royce. Touch your neighbor, it doesn't matter. And say to your neighbor, it doesn't matter how Jesus arrives. He arrives. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Doesn't matter what his mode of transportation is. He comes. He comes with grace. He comes with mercy. He comes with forgiveness. He comes because he was sent by his Father. For John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Thanks be to God for sending his Son, Jesus Christ. As you know, God was the ruler, the supreme ruler of all of the earth. And in the beginning, he was Israel's ruler. But Israel looked up and saw that the nations that they were around them had a king. They had a king that could heat, that could speak to them, that they could see, but he had no power to determine life or death. They had a king. Those persons that Israel found themselves living among, they had a king that could hear, but he could not answer with the power of the Almighty God. They had a king, but he was not omnipotent. He did not have all power. They had a king, but he was not omniscient. He didn't know everything. But thanks be to God that he says to us, I know your thoughts from afar off. Thanks be to God that the God that we serve know what we're thinking before we think it. Oh, help me somebody. Know our desires before we express our desires. They had an earthly king. But thanks be to God that he was Israel's heavenly king, who created, who had creative powers and restorative powers. Israel looked at God and said, we want a king that we can look at. I don't know about you, but some things I look at don't look too good to me. Israel chose Saul because he was tall of stature and because he was a man of war. And God gave them what they asked for. Touch your neighbor and say, be careful what you ask for. For they asked for that king who turned against God. And God did what? He fired him. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God will fire you and you won't know you're fired. Oh, help me somebody. God will let you go. He will give you that pink slip and you won't even know you have it. If you think I'm wrong, ask Samson. Samson was so strong. He was a man of great strength and a man, that was a Nazarite. He was born as a Nazarite, meaning that he wouldn't have his hair cut. He wouldn't drink strong drinks, and he wouldn't touch the dead. But guess what? He saw a lion and reached in the lion and took out of that lion some honey, sweet honey, but it was bitter to his life. You remember him, don't you? Man got a haircut at the wrong barbershop. Oh, y'all missed it? The woman asked him, where's your strength? He told her several things, and she came back and said, you lied to me. You still have strength. He said, well, my hair has never been cut. And guess what? She cut his hair, and his enemies came, and he thought he had strength. He rose up to defend himself and discovered that his strength was gone. Help me somebody here. When you don't do the will of God, you lose your power and your strength with God. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You remember not only him, but there are others who had power with God but lost it because they disobeyed God. God said, okay, I'll give you Saul. And then he turned and he gave them David, a man after God's own heart. Why would you say David was a man after God's own heart when he sinned? When he slept with his captain of his army's wife and tried to trick him. She became impregnated by David, and David called for his soldier to come home and prepared a feast for him and then told him to go home. He went home, but he didn't do anything. He went home, but he remembered his men in the field. And then David called him back again and got him drunk, sent him home, but he didn't go in. And guess what? David said, I'll fix it. I'll put him in front of the army so he certainly will be killed. Married his wife. In Psalm 51, man of God comes to him and tells him about his sin. And then David realized that he sinned, and he then turned to God in prayer and said to God, "Create with me in a clean heart. Renew with me in the right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David was called a man after God's own heart, not because of the way he looked, not because of the way he dressed, but the way he addressed God, the way he turned to God and confessed his sins and asked God for forgiveness. If you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart, know your limitations, and when you go beyond your limitations and sin, come back to God. For he says to us, I'll hear your confession and I'll forgive your sin. He rides in to Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rides in, the Bible records 6 times that he's called the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. There's no king like him. I don't care where you go. There's no president of a country like the God that I serve. The God that I serve is an awesome God. He is a God with all power. And he's worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. He's worthy because of his creation. He's worthy because of his provision. He's worthy because he is a good shepherd. He knows how to be king. Some folk you put in responsibility, places of responsibility, they don't know how to rule. They overrule. But God is a God who superrules. When I look at Matthew chapter 21 and then look at Luke chapter 19 and see the power of the Almighty God, let me talk to you briefly. I know you want to be out early like you were last Sunday, and so I'm trying to compete with Reverend Ennis and get you out before 12:45. But let me tell you, there's power in praising God. There's power in praising God. I want to talk a minute about the power of praise. If you are feeling difficulty or facing difficulty of any kind or any size, I ask you to just start singing of God's glory and of the power of God. If you have a difficulty in your life and you're facing a difficult situation, don't focus on the situation. Focus on what God can do to alleviate the circumstances and the situation. He is a God that moves in mysterious ways and is wonders to perform. When I look at 1 Kings chapter 18, when I look at Elijah who had gone to King Ahab and said to him that it will not rain for 3 years, and had gone to him and said, because you have turned away from God, God is not going to let your earth be refreshed by the rain. And so for 3 years it was without rain. He goes back to see him and tells him, look, if you do what God wants you to do, if you allow me to have a battle with Baal, they that worship Baal are powerless against the will and the power of God. And you remember the story how they met on Mount Carmel, how the servants of Baal and the worshipers of Baal met, and Baal had 400 and 450 priests who learned how to worship Baal and led the people against the will of God and against worshiping God. But they made out on Mount Carmel. You know the story in the Old West of the gunfight at O.K. Corral. Y'all remember that one? How that was that fight? But just imagine what took place with 450 against one. But he was not by himself. He had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
If you got Jesus, the old folks say, I got Jesus, and guess what? That's enough. I have a man with a name, and by his name, only by the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. At the name of Jesus, one can be saved if we call upon his name. I see in my sanctified imagination how the man of God gathered himself together. They met, and what the first thing they did was rebuild the altar that had been torn down. And they said, I tell you what, we're going to pray for fire to come down. Fire represents the power of God. What Elijah did was he began to praise God. He gave them the first chance. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if the devil is bothering you, give him first choice and then turn to God. Let the devil do what he's going to do, because he's limited by his power, because God prevents him from touching your soul. Ask Job. Job will tell you, I was sick. Oh, but guess what? I didn't turn against God. I praised God in my sickness, and God healed me. It ought to be somebody here that's been going through something in your body and been to the doctor, and the doctor told you you got a problem, but you asked the church to pray for you. You asked the preacher to pray for you. Preacher prayed, church prayed, deacons prayed, trustees prayed, and guess what? You went back to the doctor and said, what I saw, I don't see anymore. Is there anybody here that's been through that situation? Well, God speaks. Said, listen here, y'all do what you got to do. At noon, they were calling on their God, and the man of God decided to play games with him and said, maybe he's asleep. Call him again. Call, and God did not answer. And the man of God said, look at here. We've already said that the game calls for us to pour 12 barrels of water around the altar and see if the fire falls down. And the man of God prayed, and the fire fell down, and the man of God praised God, because there is power in praising God. And then he says to the king, O king, get ready, it's going to rain. And the Bible says that the king said, I don't see any rain. I don't feel the raindrops falling. God, the man of God, says, there's a sound of rain. And then asked his servant to go to the sea. And are you there? Go down seven times. And went down seven times, and the rain fell. Can I tell you something? Whatever God says that he will do, he will do. He will do. He will bless you if you bless and praise his holy name. It's amazing what praise can do. We have so much to praise God for. There's great power in glorifying and giving honor and praise to God. Have you ever praised your child? Have you ever praised your child? You praise the child. I'm reminded of my older brother who did well and was doing poorly in one subject. And my mother said to him, James Earl, look, you got all these B's and A's and different subjects, and you got this one C in math. You can do better. I believe in you. Guess what? At the end of the semester, he had an A in algebra. And I said to myself, it was the praise that mother gave to him. When we praise our children, they do better. When we praise our spouse, they do better. But when you tell them that they are less than their potential, they become less than their potential. But the more you encourage, the more they produce. So there's power in praise. But secondly, that there's a sacrifice of praise. Notice, when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, What the disciples do is they sacrifice their coats. They put their coat on the donkey. They put their coats on the beast of burden. They sacrifice what they had so that the king could ride in on comfort. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, all that I have belong to God. I might as well share it with him. Oh, y'all not listening to me. All that we have belong to God. The more we bless God through our tithes and through our offerings, the more God bless us. I wish I had someone that would testify that I used to not tithe, but I started giving to God. I made a sacrifice to give to God and to give to the different offerings that I asked for in the church. And guess what? I was young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous nor a seed begging bread. The persons that have more are the persons who give more. Y'all went quiet on that point. But can I share something with you? I was not always a tither. In the Air Force, there was no need for me to tithe in the Air Force. Your tax dollars paid for everything. Paid for choir robes, paid my salary, paid for the lights and the heating in the chapel. All I had to do was to preach, not worry about asking anybody for any building fund money or anything. And so I did not tithe. And I made a mistake. And that mistake was filing my own taxes. Oh, y'all missed it. Filed my own taxes. And Jackie will tell you that in 1978, we got audited. And I noticed that the more I gave to charity, which was nothing, I could not claim. And so I decided then, after paying X amount of dollars, that I'm going to try this tithing thing. And I'm going to try giving to God. And I'm going to try sacrificing and blessing the Lord with the resources that he had given to me. And for the last 40 years, guess what? I've not been hungry, and I've always received something at the end for my gifts to God and to charity. But I need to say something. Your tithe is not to the Salvation Army. It's not to, Alpha Phi Alpha. It's not to Delta Sigma Theta. Your tithes belong to God. He said, if you would bring all your tithes that I may have meat in my storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive. Is there anybody here that's been blessed beyond? God keeps right on blessing us when we make sacrificial gifts and give to God. It is your sacred duty and joy to praise God continually, not just with your money, but with your lips. We need to praise God verbally. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It didn't say nod your head so. It didn't say clap your hand so. It said say so. The Bible said that when Job was going through all of his problems, through the death of his sons and daughters and to the loss of his material gifts, the Bible said that Job worshiped God. There's a difference between praising God For we praise God for what he has done for us, what he will do for us, and what he is doing for us. But we worship God for who he is, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Job bowed down and worshiped God, didn't curse God, but said, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. Shaved his head and praised God. How many of us can praise God and worship God for what we're going through? When I was taking pastoral education, clinical pastoral education at the University of Richmond, there was this woman, and we had to go in and take verbatims, go in and interview the person. And I always wanted to make people feel good. I'd walk in and say, "Oh, you look good today. You got your color back." The lady looked at me and didn't say anything. I said, I'm Chaplain Jemison, and I've come to talk with you." She said, "Young man, you could do one thing for me." She said, "I'm going through something. I don't need your flattery. I don't need you telling me how good I look and how good I should be feeling. I just need you to pray for me. Oh, help me somebody." She put me back in the place that a pastor ought to be, and that's a place and a posture of prayer, not praising folk when they're going through, but sharing with them the goodness of God and the love of God through the ministry of prayer. When is the last time you prayed for somebody? Amen. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we need to learn how to praise God through the sacrifices of worship and of prayer. What is praise to God? Praise to God is worthy of intelligent praise. Y'all missed that. When we bless God, we are doing more than praising him. To bless is to praise with affection and gratitude. Having first called upon God, the psalmist invites others to call upon him. In Psalm 34, which is one of my favorites, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad." And then he says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, worship God. Oh, glorify God. Oh, honor God. Oh, exalt God. Oh, bless his holy name." So how do we bless God? How do we worship God? We worship God by lifting up our hands to him. You know, many of us do a ritualistic thing. Say, time to read the scripture. We stand and the preacher read or somebody read, and then we sit down. We do not meditate on what is read. We do not worship God and praise God for his word. And then there are many of us who shout hallelujah, which is the highest praise. But when we leave the church, did I say something wrong? When we leave the church, we forget about the praise of God and look for the praise and the worship of men. When a person worships and praises you, they put you in the place of God and they elevate you, and you elevate yourself. And then when something happens to you or to me, we sometimes turn from God. You know people who don't come to church. They don't come to church because God calls them now to walk with a limp. And they said, "I'm not coming." But I thank God for the old saints who came to church limping. Y'all don't know. Who came to church hand crippled by arthritis, could not shake hands, but they would raise their fists up to God and praise to God. Is there anybody here that's willing to praise God by sacrificing and by going through something and saying, I will trust in God. No matter what happens, I will give God the glory for what he has done and what he's doing for me. Worship is deeper than praise. Job worshiped the Lord in all of his difficulties. When I look at this text, in closing, when I look at this text, the Pharisees must have been like some us-sees. Y'all catch that on the way home. We come to church to see what others are doing, what others are wearing. We come to church to criticize what's going on. But I stopped by on my way to heaven to tell you that if you come to church and your heart is right and your praise is an intelligent praise, then God honors your praise. I never forget in a small church that I pastored in Dallas, Sister Amanda Templeton. She lost her husband in January, lost her only son in February, lost her only daughter in May. She was going through a storm when death had invaded her family. And I remember seeing her in church one Sunday, walked up to her, young pastor, and said, Sister Templeton, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. She said, thank you, Reverend. She said, but I want to tell you something. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. After all I've been through, I know that it was he who brought me through it. After death came walking in my house three times, I said to myself, God, you needed them, and you have given me the strength to sing your praises. And so I said to her, Sister Templeton, I thank you for your testimony. She said, I didn't give it for you. I gave it for myself. For I wanted folk and myself to know that God is still a good God. No matter what he has done, he keeps right on blessing me. Is there anybody here that's walked through death and you know that God is still in the blessing business? When I got ready to leave First Mind Zion Baptist Church to go to seminary, Sister Templeton walked up to me and she said, Robert, that's what she called me. She never called me pastor, for she remembered the day I was born. She said, Robert, I got something to give you. Oh, yeah. I start smiling, looking for the envelope. I just knew she had some money to give me, but she didn't have any money to give me. She said, Robert, take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. Can I say something to Second Baptist? If you don't praise him, the rocks will praise him. If I don't praise him, the rocks gonna cry, glory, hallelujah. Don't know about you, but I'm taking the name of Jesus with me. I'm giving him a lip praise. I'm sacrificing that he has given me. And so, my brothers and sisters, if you don't praise him, somebody, something will praise him. And they will give him glory and honor. Glory and honor and all praise to him, the man riding in on a donkey. But can I tell you something? The reason why I really praise him is because he died for me on Calvary. And on that third day, he rose again with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And because he gave me a command to go teach and preach and to baptize in his name, the reason why I'm praising him is because he is coming back again, and he's coming back for me. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I won't have a hard time praising him, because I've been praising him all my life. Is there anybody here that's willing to say, praise him? Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in your home. Praise him on the job. I don't know about you, but I will praise the Lord. He's heard my cry, taken all my burdens away, and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there's power in praise. Sacrifice a lip praise and then wait for your blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Choir singing, the church is standing. Yes, he is. It's a good God. Eternal and everlasting God, we thank you for reminding us the power of praise, the sacrifice of praise. Thank you for inviting us to praise the true and living God, knowing that you're worthy of all our praise. Thank you for sharing with us the difference between praise and worship. And now, even though there's been a dry spell in our lives, we hear the sound of rain, the sound of blessings coming from your heavenly sea. Now we pray for safe travel for those who worship in this place and in other places. We pray that you would allow the highway to rise up to meet us, the wind of the air to take us higher over the storms, the rail to take us safely to our destinations. Thank you again for traveling grace and mercy. And now dismiss us from this building, but never from thy praises, and never from your presence. And now may the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. And all the people of God said amen, and those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Bless you, baby.
All that aloneness you have.
I know that's right.